If you guys don't already know, the KT Talk Show is now on the HeartGrid Network. The HeartGrid Network is now on Captivate.fm, and we are working on moving all our episodes to all other podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple. So be sure to check us out, the KT Talk Show on the HeartGrid Network, and other shows that you can find there as well. Good evening, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you are tuning in from. This is the KT Talk Show, of course, your host, KT. And this evening, afternoon, I have my guest. We had met on Poddit, and I wanted to bring her on. This is Sandy Lorese. So I wanted to bring her on because she specifically reaches out to women over 40, you know, just all aspects of being a woman and not being afraid to talk about, you know, what comes with being a woman. And, you know, and as you know, I always want all my guests to have some sort of message or story to tell on where they, you know, where they came from, how they got here, and just talk about, you know, why they got into this. So Sandy, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of tell us about what you do, your podcast, website, and then we can, you know, get into the good stuff.
Okay. Thank you so much, Katie, for having me on your podcast. I'm really thrilled. My name is Sandy Lorese, as you said, and I have a podcast called The Good Girl Confessional, the name of which is quite a tongue-in-cheek nod to societal and patriarchal views that women should be quiet, well-behaved, subdued, and good, which clearly, you know, I'm not quiet. I have opinions, and I feel that every woman has a story that should be told. And the platform for the Good Girl Confessional is exactly that, a platform where women 40 and beyond can tell their incredible stories. And as I like to say, their hard-won wisdom. From the Good Girl Confessional, we also have WB40, Women Beyond 40 magazine, which is in print and digital. And we created, I started the magazine as an offshoot of that but that was always the dream. It's just that the podcast came first. But we launched the magazine during COVID, and it really was a fantastic platform to give female writers and other creatives paid opportunities. But also it was a really great vehicle for women beyond 40, beyond 50, beyond 60 and over, who were doing incredible things, to be able to tell their stories, to be able to share their wisdom with the world. Because for too long, women, once they hit the age of 40, are basically sidelined. And we see this in every aspect of life, in the corporate sector, in workplaces, in television, in media, in print media, and representation really matters.
Yeah, well, that's very beautiful. And how did you get started in this?
Yeah, so the Good Girl Confessional actually started life as a blog in 2013, and I found myself on the other side of 40, being suddenly single after a very long-term marriage. And I wanted to, from a writing background, I guess it was kind of a cathartic real life diary of dating, you know, sex, relationships after the age of 40, and especially after coming out of the cocoon and safety of a long-term marriage. The world looked completely different in terms of dating, prior to that. You know, when I met my ex-husband, we were quite young. I mean, I didn't even know about online dating. And so when I came out of that long-term relationship, suddenly everything had changed. And it was a whole new playing field. And I thought it was quite fascinating to share my story. At the time, I had young teenage children. And because I was talking about things that were quite raw and quite honest, I started out writing under a pseudonym, which was The Good Girl Confessional. And it was cathartic, but what happened was it started to garnish a small but incredibly loyal following of women who were also going through that experience themselves and thinking that they had been the only person feeling the way they were. And through that, you know, I realized that this was way bigger than me. The the blog kind of developed into not just talking about me and my, you know, exploits, but it became a vehicle really to talk about larger women's issues. And I started to invite other bloggers on as guest writers. And, you know, eventually it grew up. And I guess the reality is the Good Girl Confessional then, you know, evolved into a podcast, which was not about me, but about the stories of other women who have done some kind of extraordinary things.
Wow, that's so awesome. That's so cool to hear. I love your story. And you have, so with all the women that come to you, and you said you started this as a blog, which I think is so awesome because it was that was that first expression for you. And then, you know, you got feedback and you brought all these women together, which is so beautiful. What do you notice that most women, you know, in their 40s and 50s, like what are they struggling with? Like, I guess in, you know, within the last, like, let's say 5 to 10 years, have you noticed, or is it always different? What would you say about that?
I would say that there's a huge leap between your 30s and your 40s. And one of the greatest things that I hear from women who are beyond the age of now 40 clearly is not old. In fact, 40, as we know, is the new 30. But yes. This kind of really interesting dynamic starts to happen to women once they're over 40, which is, and I call it the invisible women syndrome, so that women start to get overlooked for promotions in the workplace, you know, beyond the age of 45. Women start to feel completely unrecognized, unnoticed, in boardrooms, they are fighting harder to make it through their careers, even though they should really be at the top of their game, and they feel that they are. They're being overlooked. We're starting to see, you know, I guess when you hit that age group, what you start to see is that you see less and less representation of yourself portrayed in television and film, in print media. And unless you are an incredibly youthful-looking high-end celebrity, really the ordinary woman who is 40, 50, 60, 70 is not really portrayed. And, you know, the thing is, we can talk about women who are fantastic role models in those age groups, but you can name them all because they're so rare. Now, that's not true in life. In life, there are millions and millions and millions of incredible role models, women who are over 40, over 50, over 60, etc., doing so many incredible things, forging incredible companies, leading incredible organizations, and they're not really getting the recognition that they so deserve.
Yeah. No, I can really almost relate to that in some sense, and I'm not in my 40s yet. But, you know, I really feel like, and I'm just getting into my 30s, I feel like as a woman that I'm just now starting to figure out how I'm going to thrive in my life. And I'm not necessarily at the point where, you know, I feel that way, but I know that I'm on the journey to on the right path. And I do feel that in my 40s is when that's going to be when I'm really like shining bright, you know, and I'm okay with that. And I think it's just really cool how you were just saying that, you know, there's women in that age group, they have so much to give, but they're just not recognized, you know. And then it made me think about just like our skin is something as simple as that, and how we have to worry about like the lines on our skin and, you know, the makeup that we wear. You know, just having to look good like all the time, and it just keeps almost like keeps getting worse as we're aging. But you know, in the workforce as well, I think with everything changing, I think that in this day and age, we need more feminine energy into the workforce. And I'm sure that you can probably agree with that. And you said that you were an entrepreneur. So I didn't know if you could maybe, you know, talk a little bit about that, like being an entrepreneur within that age group, and kind of, you know, that women that are out of the workforce, you know, because of what happened, like how can they, you know, what can they do, or like what, you know, things could you say to women right now that are in that age group to help them, kind of inspire them to, you know, follow more of their passion?
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And you raised actually a number of really good points, one of which is 100% correct, that from the time women are really in their, you know, teens, society puts a whole lot of pressure on us to look a certain way, to be the, you know, to keep looking youthful. And as you move into your 20s, you know, this is kind of like, you know, in media, that's the epitome of what every woman is meant to look like, but we can't stay in our 20s forever. You hit your 30s, and as you say, you start to, I really do believe, hit your stride in terms of you're just starting to discover who you are. And I don't know that you can discover who, you know, how are you going to make your way in the world until you really know who you are? The beautiful thing for women in your age group to look forward to is once you hit your 40s, it's almost like an awakening. You know, I do believe that women in their 40s, you know, there's this whole, it's very cliched, but people say life begins at 40. There's a reason that that adage I now know is true. It's because when you get to your 40s, you really, especially as a woman, you grow into your own skin, if that makes sense. You start to really, really not just understand who you are, but by your 40s, you're accepting who you are. You know, we continue to grow and we continue to change and we continue to evolve as humans. But it really was in my 40s that I started to get a real sense of, well, who am I and what is my purpose and what actually fills my soul and what do I want to do? In terms of being an entrepreneur, I'm an accidental entrepreneur in some ways. I say that, but I think I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I have been a small business owner in the past. I've worked in the corporate sector. So I can sort of see it from two different sides of that coin. But for me, you know, I really have always had a passion for writing, but I've really, if I boil it down, the passion was really about storytelling, and which is why I'm so enamored about the stories of other women, where they came from, what they're doing, things that they overcome. And the really fascinating thing about women is we do overcome. You know, I think women have such an extraordinary resilience and strength about them in every age group. And as we get older, you know, we just keep facing, as you mentioned, very different obstacles. So suddenly we start, you know, we're always facing sexism, regardless of our age. But as we hit a certain age, we then start facing ageism. Which is, you know, another reason why feminism, in my opinion, is really important. It is really, feminism for me is about equality between men and women. And when the lack of equality is still standing for women, even as they get to their 40s, 50s, 60s, then, you know, that's a societal issue and one which I'm really passionate about changing the narrative around. I think for me, starting Women Beyond 40 magazine, really, I was pushed ahead really by the stories of so many women, but also watching what was going on in terms of, you know, a global pandemic, so many women, especially in the creative sector, losing opportunities, their jobs were drying up, and this was especially so for women beyond the age of 45. And so for me, I was kind of just really buoyed by that. And it's an independent bi-monthly magazine with a really tiny team, and it's a huge amount of work, but it's such a passion project that my entrepreneurial spirit kicked in. And, you know, so this was a self-funded exercise in really launching something and proving that women beyond the age of 40, the writers are so talented, and there's so many women out there who are writers who are not getting, there's a handful of people who get jobs all the time, and then there's a whole lot of women who are not getting the jobs that they deserve, and so all the opportunities. And so this was a really great way to have women writing about their areas of expertise and the things that they love, but that resonate with a demographic of women who are over the age of 40, 50, 60 or whatever. And so the topics that we cover, you know, in some ways it's the same for all women in terms of, you know, the sexism that we face. But we do talk about topics such as, say, menopause and perimenopause, which women in your age bracket don't really think about or don't need to think about. But the one thing that keeps coming up with younger readers and younger writers who have reached out has been that they're kind of really grateful that we're actually talking about this stuff and sharing these stories, because because no one was really talking about these things when I was growing up. I'm 51. And when women my age were growing up. And sadly, you don't know what's going to come until you're actually in it. And that's really going back to the terrible old days of when young girls would hit puberty and didn't understand that what their period was. In much the same way, older women are sort of reaching perimenopause and menopause and saying, oh my God, what's happening to me? Am I going crazy? I don't understand this. And we still face issues of women being dismissed by doctors when they go to doctors and say, I've got all of these symptoms, and women are just dismissed. And I do believe that happens in every age bracket. There is this whole thing that if a man presented to a doctor with certain symptoms, they'd bend over backwards to find out what was going on. And in terms of women, there is this kind of thought process, even in the medical industry, that women are hysterical, or women are overly sensitive, or women don't know their own bodies. And so when you get to my demographic, my age demographic, those things are still relevant, and they continue to happen. The only difference is that suddenly you'll find yourself going through normal, you know, hormonal changes, your body starts to change, your skin starts to change, things start to happen. And really what we need is more and more people talking about this for our group, you know, to feel supported and to understand what is happening, but also for younger women like yourself coming through. If it becomes a normal topic of conversation, younger women, when they get there or when they're heading towards it, will actually take it in their stride and say, oh yeah, you know, we know all about this, and be a lot more educated about it than my generation was.
No, yeah, I love that, because that's exactly what, you know, stood out to me, is because you just have, you know, so many different women with so many different kinds of stories, and they're so, and it's so beautiful, you know, and just seeing in the all the pictures I have it pulled up too, and just seeing all their faces, and it's very inspirational. I just want to tell you that too. Inspirational.
Thank you so much. Some of these women are my daily inspiration. You know, it's really
it's so beautiful.
Oh, so beautiful. And what we love about it is the diversity of the women that come on both the podcast and have been in the magazine. And so, you know, both culturally, so we've got a very, you know, the women who have appeared on both the podcast and, as I say, in the pages of the mag, come from all different nationalities, backgrounds, religions. But what's really beautiful as well is that when you know, the podcast, The Good Girl Confessional, they've all lived like quite through different experiences. And so, and some of these women, to give your listeners an idea, some are disruptors, some are change makers, some are cancer survivors. We've had a clown doctor, we've had a cult survivor. We have, amazing cooks who have, you know, published cookbooks. We've got authors who have written both fiction and nonfiction. And we've had disability activists, just a whole range of women who bring with them different life experiences and really fascinating stories because of it.
Yeah, and it's beautiful that it's, you know, it's global too. Women from all over, it's not just in one specific area. You know, you have women coming from all over the place, which is so awesome, you know, because sometimes it's when you make a big enough impact, you know, and you say the right things, women mostly, you know, are just so there. We come together so well, and we stand strong together, I believe. So I also wanted to ask you, because you kind of already answered one of my other questions. I was going to ask you if you tend to, even though you reach out and you have mostly women over 40, do you still get quite a lot of people in their younger, you know, like people in their 20s and 30s that are reaching out to you? I was going to ask you that, but I think that you kind of already answered that. And then also with, you know, with the women that you work with, I know that, I don't know if you, how much we talk about like self-care, and kind of like the spirituality, but that's kind of something that's been fairly important for me as far as just knowing who I am. So I didn't know if that was something that you know, if there's any practice that you have, or if there's anything that you, you know, that you do with women that are on your podcast or in your magazine, that you maybe that you do together or anything? Is there anything that you do like that? Or is there any recommendations that you have for women in their 40s and above that so they can kind of figure out more of who they are at that age?
So that's a beautiful question, actually. So one of the really amazing things that we do have, which is an offshoot of the Good Girl Confessional Facebook page, is an online community mm-hmm. of women. And it really is a private group that women can join really to lift each other's spirits, which was really important, especially during COVID. And I'm in Melbourne, Australia, and we went through an extraordinarily tough lockdown initially. Look, it's paying off now because our numbers are so low. But that was difficult for a lot of people. But what it did do, because we have women in that group from all over the world, as you mentioned, was really we were all sort of unified by a collective experience like no other. Obviously, 2020 was a hell of a year, and 2021 is, you know, it's still got major issues. But what that, you know, what that little community does is uplift other women. And it really is a safe space where we have zero tolerance for bullying or aggression towards other women. Mm-hmm. And it's a supportive place where women can help each other, you know, and you will see weeks where it's just a lot of people sharing really amazing memes or videos or things that actually just make you laugh, which is great. And then sometimes yeah. there'll be someone actually asking for advice. Hey, I, you know, this is happening, and what does everybody else's experience with that? Or we're talking about menopause or whatever it may be. And there are younger women in that group. And so it is not restricted to women who are 40 and over. And that's a really important message as well, is that although we've done this platform, because what we found was there's so many platforms out there for younger women. I was really inspired to start the platform with some extraordinary collaboration with so many great women, because there wasn't really a platform like this for my age demographic, which is why we started it. But having said that, we're really passionate about paving the way for younger women as well. I mean, the whole thing would be to share that wisdom to inspire younger women coming up. And as you asked me before about being an entrepreneur, I would say to younger women and to women in my age demographic as well, is that bringing communities of women together, or being a part of a community of women, whether that is a book club, whether it's a spiritual group, whether it is an online Facebook group, whether it's, you know, whether you join a running group, whatever it may be, there's a powerful force that happens when you bring big groups of women together and they're all on the same page. And that doesn't mean that we all have the same views and we all agree with each other all the time. Right. What it means is that we really want to see other women rise and, you know, to change the demographic of this, you know, ridiculousness that women are pitted against each other and that we're competitive. And you know, there is always an element of that, as there are amongst men. But I think the reality is most women, when you ask them, they want to see other women rise. And, you know, they don't want to just spend their life tearing other women down. And I guess the big advice is, if you are a woman who finds yourself being really competitive and you know, really sort of pulling other women down, is perhaps to just look inside and kind of question, well, why am I doing that, and what am I afraid of? I always say there's enough room at the dinner table for everyone. And so
definitely, 100%.
Right. And so when one of us rises, we all rise. And in helping other women rise, you know, we all rise. I mean, that's the whole thing. So I think, unfortunately, I have spoken about this before on my platform and other platforms, is that women are still fighting for that place at the table. And so there are so many firsts. You know, Prime Minister in Australia, we've had, you guys have got now the first female VP and first woman of colour to be the VP. you know. So there's always these firsts, and while there are still these firsts, there's this kind of narrative that plays out, especially in male-led media, that there can only be room for that one woman at the top. The reality is that the more women that you bring through with you, the more women that you mentor and allow them space to grow, the better the world is, right?
Oh, yeah. I love how you said that. You made the, even said it a couple times about just bringing women together and knowing that really, you know, every woman is there to inspire no matter what age. You know, I actually, you know, really get along better with women that are 10, 15, 20 years older than me, just because I wanna keep learning, you know, and I wanna know, like, how'd you get through your 30s? How did you get through your 40s? And, you know, what can I do differently that you did when you were younger? So it's just cool, because I know that there's a lot of women my age that feel the same way. So I just, you know, I just wanted to make that comment that, you know, I know that I personally vibe better with women that are older than me. And like I said, I think it's just the wisdom and kind of just knowing really more of who you are at that age. And I just think it's really cool that you're bringing, again, not only just everybody globally, but just women of every age are wanting to learn from what you're doing. So that's really cool.
I think that's a beautiful testament to who you are too, Katie, yeah. That you're clearly really open to learning. And as you say, so many women hold wisdom that, you know, pearls mm-hmm. of wisdom that younger women can learn from and thrive from and mm-hmm. and avoid the same mistakes. And
Definitely, right? Like, just with your health and, you know, like, I would have not drank as much alcohol in my 20s, you know.
I would have stayed out of the sun and used moisturizer.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I know. I would have took better care of my skin and, oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly. Just those little things that we, like, sometimes take advantage of, I swear.
But the one bit of wisdom, I guess, that I wish someone had told me when I was younger is to really embrace yourself for who you are. You know, this whole body shaming, weight shaming, age shaming thing that we have going on in the world in Western societies is just really, it's so detrimental to women on the whole. And how much of our lives do we spend as women worrying about what am I going to wear? How much do I weigh? You know, there's a reason the diet industry is worth billions of dollars because they've made it an art form to shame women, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I know. That's a whole – we could probably talk about that for a few hours, just the how our body image is so – we're always just so worried, you know. I mean, not everybody, but that just seems like what it – and the pressure that we have to be a certain way. And I know that, okay, men have – you know, pressures, but it's just like, geez, oh, Pete's like, you don't get it. Like, first of all, we have to birth these children, right? We always have to throw that out there. Like, you don't ever have to do that.
It's but, so true.
You know, like, we have to work a little bit harder to look better, just saying.
and that's a big problem, right? In that why do we have to? Where's that pressure from?
Right.
Where it comes from, right? But women are our own worst enemies is in that we buy into that narrative. And instead of, I mean, we all like to look nice. I don't care if you're a man, woman, or indifferent. And but at the same time, this, if you feel pressured to look a certain way, that's an issue. And, you know, wherever you are right now, I mean, I'm, you know, quite a curvy girl, and I will say that
same here.
It took me a long time to really embrace my curves and to kind of go, you know, I think I've been battling myself for half of my life, which is crazy. But I look back now and think, even at my thinnest, I was still worried about something. I was still, you know,
exactly.
So we're never content, and that is the biggest issue of all. So I'm just learning to look, you know, I'm trying right now, I'm kind of on a health kick, and I think that that's a good thing after the COVID lockdown. You know, I think there was too much alcohol consumed, and how much sourdough bread can you eat?
Right.
So I'm on a health kick now, but what I realize is that I'm embracing that more from a health perspective than worrying about, oh my God, what am I going to wear? I can't fit into that. You know, and I believe me, I have days where I am like that. And I think we constantly battle with that inner voice, but I'm learning to just accept this is me, and I'm, you know, I'm doing great things, and I'm a good person, and I'm healthy, and, you know, I'm surrounded by loved ones and all the good things. That at the end of the day, you know, and that's the other thing too, you know, life is quite short, as we know. And you know, at the end of your life, if the thing you're most worried about is how you look, you know, rather than what have I done in my life, I think that that's a bit sad, really, for all of us.
Yeah, well, and I know this is kind of, I don't know the word to even put on this statement, and I think, I remember her last name, Amy, she's a comedian, I want to say like Amy Schuster or something, she's a famous comedian.
Amy Schumer?
Yeah, I can never remember. That's why I just said something, because I'm like, you probably know who I'm talking about. She said something on an Instagram post, and she goes, the host asked a question, you know, like, what can you say about women that are, you know, concerned about their body image? And she goes, but did you die? And that was like her response. And I just was thinking, like, that was the best response, because, you know, like, if you think about it, like, you're laying on your deathbed, do you really care how many calories you ate that day, or what, how much you weighed, or, you know what I mean? Like, if you drank enough water, or if you ate a piece of bread, you know what I mean? It's just, I just loved it so much, because it was the most basic response, but it was the best response. But did you die? No.
No.
You're still here, living, breathing, experiencing life.
Right? And,
so I love that.
You know, I think that that's so important. And I think, you know, but we have to constantly check our own negative self-talk, you know, about this stuff. And I'm the same. I'm no different. You know, it's like, for the most part, I'm incredibly confident in the skin I'm in, and I feel great. And then every now and then I'll just have one of those days and I'm like, oh damn, you know, I caught sight of myself in a shop window or something, and I feel like crap. I mean, you know, you just got to check yourself and kind of, as you say, I love that line from Amy Schumer, you know, but did you die? I'm going to use that every day now.
That's what I'm saying. It literally was the best. I even saved it, because I'm like, I'm going to go to this if I'm having just a really bad day, you know, because we just have those sometimes. Just go back to that and look at that, and it's just going to snap me right out of it. I've just kept it as my motto the last 6 months. No, I am still here. I am walking on these 10 toes, right?
Right. And how lucky are we, you know? And I think that's the thing. Look, we are seeing like a lot of really great role models coming through. I mean, I look at women like Lizzo, who I think is fantastic. I just love her.
She's
a rock star. You know, I just love her. Her message about life and about body image is fantastic. We've got a model who's basically just made history in Australia by being part of a swimwear campaign across billboards right across this country. Her name's April Jolene Horton. She's 36 and she's a plus size model. I hate that word, plus size.
I know, me too.
Right? It's such a label. She's a curvy swimsuit model, and she's brilliant. And yeah, she's really made history. I think she's on Instagram as the Bodzilla, which I love.
That's awesome.
It's so great. And so I think, you know, we are starting to see, and I'm so impressed with younger women coming through who are all different kinds of body types and all different kinds of race, background, you know, whatever, coming through on catwalks. And it is a sign of the times, that times are changing. And, you know, of course there was an outcry. First of all, that, you know, when the swimsuit billboards went up around Australia recently, there was an outpouring of love from women, first of all, going, wow, this is amazing. I mean, if I had billboards like that when I was growing up, I probably wouldn't have struggled with my weight in a way that I did. You know what I mean? But which is really interesting. But
Definitely.
But then the haters are going to hate, and they do come out of the woodwork. And then, you know, there's all these, you know, of course you get people who will fat shame and people who will carry on about, but is she healthy? She's not healthy. What kind of role model is that? You know, she's a vibrant, vivacious, smiling, brilliant chick. So I say that's all awesome. The power.
Yeah. You know, that actually reminded me when I was at the mall the other day, I was walking by I hate saying plus size. It was a plus size quotation marks here. Model that I walked by, and you know, she had a little bit like a little chubbiness, whatever you want to, I don't know what you want to call it. We have words for things, you know, like a little bit hanging over her bathing suit. And I was like, see, I'm like, you know, and she's got some big hips and, you know, some big boobs and she was letting them hang out a little bit, but it was the best model I think I've ever seen in the last like 20 years. You know, just she was just, so, it was so natural. And just seeing that just made me feel, you know, as a curvy woman, and I'm sure you can, you know, kind of, you know, you can relate. It was just, I just sat there and just like looked at it for probably like a couple of minutes. So this is so awesome. You know, like this is so great to see that we're kind of coming through, you know, not all the way, but just enough to where enough women are coming together, like we talked about earlier, to make an impact on not just a few, but like the world, you know, globally, like you're doing now.
Oh, thank you. And as you yourself are doing for your age group, right, which is brilliant. And, you know, I do think, look, the world is changing definitely, but it's not changing enough. And one of the things
right.
on my platform is that, you know, we have a number of people who are contributors either on the podcast or in the mag who are from the disability sector. And you realize like how overlooked people of color are, how people in the disability sector are, again, in media. I guess the big thing in terms of, you know, curvy models is that much the same as, you know, the disability sector and people of color, representation matters. It absolutely matters. And if you're not opening a magazine where you see yourself reflected back, that's detrimental. And, you know, let's face it, if you're growing up and you happen to be like I'm, you know, a white Australian with green eyes and, you know, red hair and whatever, you know, I could find a million images of me reflected back. But if you're a person of color, if you're like in Australia, if you're an Aboriginal, Indigenous person, Torres Strait Islander, representation matters. It's important to see those images when you open a magazine reflected back at you. If you are a person living with a disability, and, you know, we have to change the narrative around disability as well, that it's not just about people in wheelchairs. It's a range of disabilities that go on, that those people need to be represented and they need to see themselves, especially kids who are growing up. Right? It's about 100%. Normalizing and being inclusive, because society is not all one thing. It's just not.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And you know, that was a really other great point to make about, you know, having the influence on younger females, because, you know, I think about my daughter, she's going to be 12 this year, right? So she's getting into that preteen, going to start her menstrual cycle. And I was kind of just thinking, like, how can I, you know, I always trying to think of how I can be the best role model for her. But I think about how I can show her, you know, at that age so that she can be ready, you know, when life starts happening, right? You know, like when she becomes a teenager and all these, you know, the boys are talking to her this way, or, you know, girls are jealous and all those things. And I just thought about ways that I can teach her, you know, and basically prepare her to face when challenges come up as a woman. And I don't want her to ever feel like she's indifferent or, you know, needs to change for anybody. So I'm just glad that you brought that up because that's really important for me right now, especially with the age that my daughter is at. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's, you know, just on the brink of it. And it's a beautiful age, 12, but it's also a scary age. I mean,
very much so.
Yeah. As they head into the teenage years.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're dealing with hormones and body changes, much like women in my demographic, but they're also dealing with.
Yeah, right.
But right. They don't have the life experience sometimes to deal with all of the changes that happen at once. And along with that comes, you know, high school, boys, or their own sexuality, whether they're gay, straight, or trans or whatever.
Exactly.
But it is really that coming to acceptance of self, I suppose, at that age. And that's a really it's difficult to navigate it. I think being open and honest and allowing a platform, like I have three children who are grown up now, and I always, you know, we all make mistakes as parents. None of us are perfect and we're constantly learning. learning. So one of the things we can do as women who are mothers, and not every woman's a mom, of course, and but, you know, as women and as mothers, is to take the pressure off ourselves that we're all meant to be perfect, because we're not. We make mistakes and life is messy. But one of the things that I really tried hard to do and believe I've achieved, and I'm so grateful for it now, is having a really open mind and saying to my children there was nothing they couldn't come home and talk about. And that really paid off when certain experiences in their life were going on where they felt they could just come home and tell me. And I'm really, really grateful for that. It's just so important. And, you know, for kids to feel supported regardless of what they're going through. Kids make mistakes, of course. Adults make mistakes. So, of course, kids are going to make mistakes along the way, right? And, I think, you know, any advice I can give, I guess, being on the other side with grown-up children now is that, and, you know, my youngest is 20. I don't think you ever stop worrying. Right? And at this age, at his age, you know, I can continue to guide, but at the end of the day, you know, he will assert, and rightly so, that he's an adult. He can make decisions for himself, and all you can do, as I say, is still be there and make sure that the door is always open if they want to come home and talk about things. Because, you know, I'm sure, you know, even in our 30s and 40s and whatever, we still want to know that we can turn to people, parents or other support people in our life, and know that we can talk our truth and that someone is listening. And that's really important.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's always very, very important to have that bond with your parents, if you can, you know, like I always say, you know, we come up in different backgrounds, we have different stories. So not everybody is able to be close with their parents. But, you know, if you do have that bond, you know, just being able to talk about one little mishap that they had at school that they might, you know, if they didn't have just that piece, you know, of that communication piece of a mother-daughter, mother-son relationship, you know, then they'd be holding up, and that can cause other things to happen later on in life. You know, so that's another really great point, is that, because I say that to my daughter all the time, like, if anything happens, you know, I don't care where it is, like, please come to me first, you know, because I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be the first, because grandma's very important too. She loves her grandmother, you know, but that was, you know, just come to me for anything. And so far it's been, you know, it's been good. So.
That's fantastic. And how beautiful for her that she's got, you know, two generations of women. That's really lovely. I think for me growing up, I didn't necessarily have the closest of families, but what I did have, and I'm so grateful for, is an incredible group of friends that I met when I was 11, and that we continue to be friends to this day. And
awesome.
You know, so we've gone through everything, every life experience you can imagine. Yeah. We've gone through puberty together and getting boobs together and you know, first boyfriends and crushes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. We've gone through, you know, weddings, divorces, you name it. We've gone through kids. Some of us had children, some of us did did not. Some got married, some did not. And this extraordinary group of women is still friends. We still, and they are, you know, for me, that sort of takes it back to our very first opening of this podcast, is that sisterhood and having mm-hmm. strong groups of women around you, supportive groups of women around you, is so incredibly important, because I do know oh, yeah. that whatever is going on in my life, you know, if anything goes wrong, can turn to these women. And we've all been through some things. You know, my dad had Alzheimer's. Other friends in my group are now going through that. Now I've lost both of my parents. Some of the group have lost a parent, or both parents. And so having that support network is just incredibly important, to have a group of women who you can walk into a room. They all know who you are. You don't have to share your story a thousand times, they know it. You can just walk in, you know, cry, laugh, have a glass of wine together, and just know that you're fully supported. And this is what, you know, having women around you actually can do for women, and why it's so important, I think, to create, for me, like to have created an online community as well for those women who perhaps have not been as blessed as I have and are not as lucky as I am, to have those physical friendships. It's still really important to know that there are women out there who support you, understand you, hear you, and are going to be there for you. You know, I don't know that we can put a price on that.
No, you can't. And, you know, and there was also something that you mentioned, you know, like the way that the culture is, you know, specifically in the United States, I don't know as much, you know, as far as globally, like in Australia, I don't know, you know, with society, how much, like I was saying, the pressure of, you know, being a certain way, and jealousy, I feel like, just lingers around a lot. You know, you have people in LA that are dressing this way, and Hollywood and stuff. You know, but having a group of just like legit, you know, females that are women, that are like-minded, you know, it's becoming more and more common. And nowadays I feel like, because that has been around for so long. And I think women now, like my age and older, are just kind of like taking a stand and just saying like, look, like, this is not okay. This is why all, you know, we're having to go to the doctor so often, and we're gaining weight because of the stress and the pressure, you know, rather than just realizing that really what you need is a group of solid women, like you were saying, your friends that can support you and get you through life, this roller coaster of life that we have to get through. You know, so yeah,
absolutely. That's been my saving grace. You know, a 40-year mm-hmm. friendship with, you know, there's 10 women. I mean, it's a lot of women, and
yeah,
people are so mm-hmm. blown away every time I tell this story, but it's actually factual. So 40 years of friendship, and, you know, we're still going strong. You know, I think it's really important. And I've met so many extraordinarily brilliant women along the way who are friends. And I think being open to other women and to hear their stories, and this is how we bond, right, is to tell our truth, yes, and be open to other people without judgment, and just listen. You know, we're all different. I think what's really interesting about this 40-year friendship with this group of women I have is that we're all very different personalities. We're not all the same. And that, I guess, if I take anything out of that, it's that if we just accept people for who they are and expect and kind of expect them to be different from us and embrace the differences rather than being upset by the differences, that's where, you know, true friendship, and even in business, where true collaboration happens.
Yes.
Right. So
yeah, 100% agree with you on that one, because all those different ideas have more solutions to the problem, right?
Absolutely. And look, you know, unfortunately, we have seen in terms of global politics, and I suppose, and this is not just aimed at the US, because it's happening here in Australia as well to a lesser degree, but what we are seeing is, you know, where different points of view become really just a step off point for people to show their racism, sexism, mm-hmm. the misogyny, all of the things. There's a lot of hate in the world, and I kind of think look, there's some pretty crazy ideas going around, let's face it, at the moment, conspiracy theorists and whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, I always say, you know, you can choose to scroll on people. So if you're on an online forum and someone's saying something that you think, wow, that's just so ridiculous, that's okay, but move on. I mean, you know, engaging in online spats and fighting with people really brings no joy to your life. You raised a really good point about that, though, before. You actually were saying how in LA and other places that people compare themselves nonstop to everyone else. I've found in my life that comparisons to other people is definitely a really good recipe for feeling miserable, because we cannot hold ourselves up to other people, right? We can't. Mm-hmm. And if you get up every day and you do the best that you can do, and you can go to sleep at night and look yourself in the mirror going, you know, I did the best I can do today. Really, that's what you should be asking of yourself, and not looking around and going, oh, but she was wearing, you know, Louboutin shoes or whatever your thing is. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, and again, I raise this point, you know, did you die from it? You know, Amy Schumer, are you dead? No. Yeah, I think we just focus too much on outside things to make us happy instead of kind of focusing on ourselves to make ourselves happy. No one else is actually responsible for our happiness. It took me a lot of years to figure that out.
But that's another thing about being different, though. It doesn't, you know, you can't put an age, you can't put a time limit on that stuff. You know, I feel like at 30, I've, you know, finally realized that I'm gonna, you know, who I am as a person, right? And that all the, like you were saying, just all those things about just the expectations, like, I don't care about that anymore. Like, Katie is cool, and I'm gonna be just like this and stay this way.
and that's so, it's so liberating, isn't it? Like, when you get to that point. And, you know, as I said, you'll have moments, like I have moments, like every woman has moments, where you'll dip and you'll go, oh, but I feel like crap and I should have done this or I should have done that or I should go on a diet, whatever. But, you know, like me, I'm now going to adopt, you know, that brilliant Amy Schumer thing. I'm just going to adopt it.
Do it.
Great leveler, right, to say to yourself in your head, but are you dead? You know.
Exactly.
We're doing okay, and I think – I always say this to, I you know, have said this to my kids a lot of times as well. In terms of comparing yourself to other people, you know, I've raised a generation who have grown up with Facebook, Instagram, all of those things, Twitter, whatever it may be, Snapchat, TikTok. It's hard for people not to compare themselves when they're constantly online looking at other people doing great things or looking amazing or having a brilliant life. But I always say, in my day, I can't believe I just said that, in my day, that's so old. But anyway, when I was when I was growing up, we had like cameras with rolls of film, right? So you go to a party and you take all these photographs, and then you had to take this. You couldn't see through, you know, there was no digital photos. You didn't know what you were taking. And then you would take that roll of film to get developed, and you were so excited to get it back. Half the photos would be blurry.
I remember.
Right? Blurry or too dark or whatever. Now, if you got, and this is my thing to my kids, if you got one brilliant photograph out of that, that would be the photograph you'd likely put in a frame in your house.
Right.
You go, wow, I loved that night. It was so much fun. It was so brilliant. Or their photos, the good ones are the ones you put in your photo album. You don't put the crap ones, the blurry ones, the ones that have chopped people's heads off or whatever in your photo album, right? And so that's all Instagram really is. It is a snapshot of a moment, and every one of those images, and for influencers, you know, I think a lot of their images obviously are contrived, and that's okay, because what they're selling is themselves. They're branding themselves, and that's okay too from a business perspective. But to look at people's everyday lives – they're just snapshots. They're just a moment in time of something that they did. Yep, they went to a great restaurant and that meal was fantastic, but you don't know what happened mm-hmm. the next day. You don't right. know if they were exactly. having a really good day that day. You don't know who lost their job. You don't know who was struggling to put petrol in their car that day, or you don't know who's going through a separation or a relationship disaster. You don't know all those things. Mm-hmm. Right. And, yeah. and because that's the other thing too. When I was taking photos as I was growing up and putting them in my photo album, I wasn't sharing photos of anybody crying. I wasn't sharing photographs of funerals. I wasn't sharing, you know what I'm saying? So
yes,
the darkest yeah. times of our lives mm-hmm. are not the moments we capture. We capture the happiest, joyous, wonderful moments in our life. And that's yes. okay. But I think if we keep that in perspective when we try and compare our lives to someone else, at the end of the day, you know, you can always find something joyous to share on an Instagram post, whether it's a flower in your garden or your dog or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to compare yourself to anybody else. And if you're having a shit day, you're having a shit day, and that's okay too.
Exactly.
I hope I love that on this podcast.
No, I love what you just said, because that's it. It's perfect. I mean, it's not, nothing's perfect, but it was just perfect what you just said. That's exactly how I feel. You know, it's just that one moment that you see. You know, they're putting these moments on their stories. Like, okay, that's just that moment in their life, right? Like, that doesn't mean that's how they are 24/7. Their life is not sunshine and rainbows and unicorns all the time. Like, and that's just what a lot of people have to understand. And I still think that, you know, some of us struggle with that. But there's all kinds of things we can say about, you know, getting the notifications on your phone and how social media has basically like made us attached to our phones. That's a whole nother conversation in itself.
Absolutely. But I do think it's important to just, you know, especially with young kids, I mean, you've got a daughter, you know, at a really mm-hmm. interesting age, it's just helping them to keep that in perspective and kind of go, well,
right.
that's all it is, moments in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll even admit she's not even allowed to have that stuff yet, because I feel comfortable just having, you know, she's like my little nerd. We like to learn and do crafts and things like that together. We don't have to be on social media.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And she, and the thing is that she doesn't, and what's cool is that she doesn't ask about it. She doesn't want to do it. You know, I don't necessarily know if it comes from her, you know, her shyness, which is totally fine. I'm okay with it. Right. If that's what it is, like, I'm going to roll with it for now until she asks me.
Oh, no, but I think that that's great. And I think, you know, let's face it, kids grow up way too fast anyway. And
they do.
You know, I can't imagine how many images of things, you know, they see that have already influenced them by the time they're 12. But,
oh, yeah. Know,
it's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. So we have just about like five more minutes. And I always like to let you have a chance to just talk about if you have anything coming up within the next, you know, couple of months, couple of weeks, couple of days. And I also wanted to give you the chance to talk about like how people can contribute. Cause I saw that, you know, people can be writers, help you advertise, you know, just talk about that for a few minutes, just if people want to be a part of what you're doing, because I mean, you and I should definitely, you know, talk a little bit more outside of this as well, because we have the same passion.
we do. That's true. So if anybody wants to follow the podcast, you can find the Good Girl Confessional podcast on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and basically anywhere where you listen to good podcasts. But we would love you to jump on board and have a listen. And of course, it always helps every podcaster if you can subscribe and like and give it a rating, hopefully a 5-star one. That would be brilliant. with the magazine, WB40, Women Beyond 40, can be found at WB40.com online, and from there you can find out where you could purchase the magazine in digital version or print. If you are overseas from Australia, we have been shipping the magazine at but it does cost for shipping around the world, but we have been shipping it. And I'm very pleased to say that WB40 has now been purchased and has landed in the US and in Canada and the UK.
Yay.
So that's really exciting.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But if you are overseas and you think the postage is a bit prohibitive, the digital version of the magazine is available, and it's actually it's very, very affordable. It's $7.99 per edition. That's Australian, which is about just on $10 American, US, I believe, depending on the exchange rate. But it's pretty affordable to have a look at it and read the stories. So our next edition of the magazine, we are a bi-monthly independent mag, and it's coming out later this month, which is fantastic, for February. And we're looking at the theme of this magazine. The next edition is love and other catastrophes, and so love in all of its different forms and the things that can happen. So not just romantic love, but, you know, we're really excited to be talking to an author who is a proud Indigenous woman from Australia named Gail Kennedy, who's fabulous, just love her, who is part of a new book called Growing Up Disabled in Australia, which is an anthology written by over 46 writers from the disability sector sharing their stories. So that's really epic. And we are talking to a lovely lady named B Starlight, what a beautiful name, who started and runs her own animal shelter in Byron Bay in Australia, which is a beautiful part of the world. And she started an animal sanctuary, taking in animals such as cows and horses and goats and chickens and basically livestock that nobody else really wanted. And so she's created this beautiful, lovely sanctuary for amazing animals. We've got a really lovely and quite famous in Australia columnist named Kerry Sackville writing for the magazine that is coming up, and she writes about divorce and how one should wait before they date. So that's a really fantastic article, and I can't wait to bring that to everyone else. And we've got people talking about the job market. So we have a regular columnist, Amalia Chilianis, who's talking about employment, changing careers, etc., for women over 40, which is really, really pivotal, especially in these times.
Wow, well, you have all kinds of fun stuff going on. That's so exciting. That's so exciting. I love it. So everybody make sure that you check out her website, her magazine, her podcast, you know, get in touch if you want to stay in touch. And like you said the digital version was $7.99.
Correct. That's Australian dollars, but yeah. It's for the digital.
Yeah, it's about $10 in US. Yeah. I think you're right.
That's right.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on here today. We had a great conversation, and I think this is going to be a very, very inspirational and impactful podcast for women all over the place. So we're going to make sure that we get this all over the world.
Thank you so much, Katie, for having me on. I'm just thrilled, and you've been so delightful. So thank you.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, this is KT. I just wanted to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful, lovely day.